Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thanks to, a debate. Sometimes it feels like the never-ending debate around the Dublin City Centre traffic plan. But that debate has nonetheless brought a renewed focus on the vibrancy of our city and town centres all across the country. Some retailers have claimed that the plan to restrict car access in the capital will lead to a decline in sales. But changing consumer habits and hybrid working have been affecting footfall for some time now, with some statistics suggesting an increase in commercial vacancy rates right across the country. Our reporter Una Kelly has been looking at what's behind these changes and whether the trend can be reversed. Una, talk us through some of the trends.
Yes, Derville. Well, some of the stats that we have on this are from a company called GeoDirectory. Now, they were created by Ann Post and Ordnance Survey Ireland. And basically what they do is compile a database of the commercial and residential buildings all across the country and what they're being used for. So they track that data and produce commercial vacancies report. The latest one they produced was February this year, which showed that there has been an increase across the country in commercial vacancies. The national average is just over 14%. That's the highest.
And is it the same across the country, or are there regional differences?
No, there's actually quite a significant variations across the country. If you look at Sligo County, for example, they record Sligo as having a 20% commercial vacancy rate, while Meath is only around 10%. Dublin is slightly below the national average, just over 13%. But even within Dublin, there are huge variations in the different postal districts. Dublin 15 is just 16%, but Dublin 2, 18%. Now, Dublin 2 obviously includes
Grafton Street, yeah.
Yeah, it is indeed. And traditionally, we would expect that that would be a desirable location for businesses and quite busy. So I asked Dara Keogh, the CEO of GeoDirectory, if he was surprised by the high vacancy rate in Dublin 2.
What we think it may be related to is that the office spaces may not be as suitable to current commerce as they used to be. And also maybe they're harder to renovate, harder to heat, etc. And people want to work in more modern feeling or facing offices. We don't know. That may not be true. It seems to be a trend that's happening. Then looking in terms of the sort of, I suppose, where the vacancies are coming, if you like, what we see there is the biggest decline is in the service sector. Then the next biggest decline is in retail. So in terms of your question about Grafton Street, we would see that retail, not just in Dublin 2, but across the country, would be one of the areas where we're seeing the higher levels of vacancy.
And what are the factors behind that?
So it's very hard to know the exact factors behind that. Some of it we'd have to expect is to do with still a change in pattern of shopping and retail engagement due to COVID. For example, maybe people are working hybrid work, and so there's less people coming into town on a regular basis. There's also the continued growth of internet shopping, which is growing strongly, it appears. After that, I suppose you have to look at the fact that there has been, while the cost of living has grown, over the last number of years, while we're starting to see a decline, it's still relatively high compared to historical levels, and people are feeling that in their pockets, I guess. And while we have obviously seen a decrease, for example, in energy prices, those stores will still be trying to catch up on the high prices that they had to pay for a little bit.
Would you anticipate that retail vacancy will continue to increase?
We don't know. I'm afraid the short answer, the real answer is we don't know. What we do know is that there has been a trend for retail to change, and that's always been the case in retail, I guess. They have to change to the needs of the consumer. There is more people in the country, there's a higher population level, there should be more people shopping. So that should incentivize retailers to continue to have space on the high street and open their doors.
That was Dara Keogh there, the CEO of GeoDirectory. And as I mentioned, the statistics that they recorded showed Sligo as having the highest commercial vacancy rate at around 20%. Now, I was speaking to Finbar Phelan about this. He's from Sligo Business and Development. He also sits on the Oversight Committee of Town Centre First. That's a government policy that focuses on regeneration. generation. He pointed out that that statistic, 20%, is for the entire county, whereas in Sligo Town Centre, he says vacancy is closer to just 10%. He did also point out that he thinks it's hard to get clear data on this, and he thinks vacancy has been somewhat overestimated.
Is there a difference between occupancy and vacancy?
Yes, he thinks we need to focus more on occupancy rather than vacancy. And what he means by that is that a building from the outside may not look like it's in use, but in terms of
it's a bad look all the same.
Absolutely. In terms of a trading from the front being a shop front. But he pointed out that some of those spaces will be in use, maybe as storage or being used as some kind of office space for a business. And that if it's used for that purpose, it's unlikely that you're going to get that to change back into a retail space overnight at all. And he also pointed out that how people use town centres has changed, and that focusing on getting more retail spaces isn't the way forward.
Due to the change in habits of consumers, in most provincial towns and villages, we have adequate retail and hospitality spaces already occupied to meet the need of the public. So if you take Sligo, for example, our main retail hospitality core has an occupancy level of over 90%, which that's really, really strong. But if you go to our more peripheral streets, we have a lower level of occupancy. The units there are typically of a smaller size with a ground floor area of about 500 square feet. There'd be typically your small mom and pop shop, your small vegetable shop or a small hairdresser's where the people lived upstairs. And it's highly unlikely those units will ever come back into retail use. So we need to look at a different use for them. More and more of these units are coming, are changing into residential use. And that's very positive because it brings the entire building back into use and it gets people living in our town centres. So our towns are going to change, and we need to move away from this idea of focus on vacancy, and we need to change it to making our towns more occupied, be that with businesses or be that with people living on ground floors or living over our shops. Again, it's coming back to the changing needs of the consumer. If you go back 20 years, it's a line I like to use is that people went to town to do some shopping and get a cup of coffee. Now people come to town to get a cup of coffee and they may do some shopping. So everything has changed. So we have to move away from the idea that we have to have people trading out our front doors of all our shop units.
It's really interesting, Una, just when you're listening to Finbar there, because one of the big debates is, you know, we see derelict units maybe above shops that we say those could be used. It's a different question when you're looking at maybe empty office blocks or, you know, empty commercial blocks and saying, can they be used and converted for into residential units? Are there challenges in trying to do that? One we can get our head around, the other might be a bit more tricky.
Yes, well, this was highlighted in a piece of research that was carried out by the Simon community last year with assistant professor in urban geography at DCU, Kathleen Stokes. So they were looking at the refurbishment of vacant above the shop units and whether that can easily be changed into residential use. And their conclusion is that there is huge potential there for increasing housing supply, but that it's not a silver bullet at all and shouldn't be relied upon. They find that there were certain challenges, that it's often more complicated to bring a vacant commercial property into use for a home. For example, if you're thinking of disability access and making sure the property is warm enough to live in. Now, Kathleen Stokes, for that research, spoke to people who've been involved in converting vacant units into homes, and she outlined some of the challenges they told her about.
The added work that might be needed to bring a vacant unit back is something that has to be considered. So there could be added costs, there might be delays that mean then you're having to reschedule additional works, or things might come up once you strip back, you know, the walls and the floors and ceilings and you realise there's added things that you hadn't anticipated. So there's more uncertainty with bringing a vacant unit back into use. There can be added costs as a result of that. And so it can be riskier to do that. However, there are many examples where people have done this, both in towns and cities in Ireland. And there are supports available from government to enable that. We're still trying to see the extent to which those are being taken up in different parts of the country. But there certainly is support available. I think one of the big questions, though, is who can take these things on? When it's financially viable to take on a renovation like this, It will tend to get done, or if someone's really committed to it, it will get done. But if we have higher rates of vacancy in above shop units or other kinds of vacant units that might be harder to bring back, one of the big challenges is going, if no one is kind of taking them on already, do we have a strategy for doing that in a way that is going to make it appealing, make it possible for people to actually have these as units?
That was Kathleen Stokes from DCU finishing that report by Una Kelly. Una, thank you